Hello and welcome back to another episode of Blush. I'm your host, Hiva, and you know, we're doing it. No, I actually have a really good episode. I have a really good episode planned for you today. Should I start this over? No, fuck it. We're going to roll with it. No, I'm really, really excited about today's episode. I hope it ends up being as good as it is in my head. Because in my head, it's fantastic. But we'll see how it ends up playing out. Also, if you're watching on video, I'm going to try not to play with my rings too much. I ordered all these new rings because ever since I've had the Aura ring, I've been wanting to wear more rings because it looks weird when you just have one ring, right? So I've wanted to be a ring girly. So I've kind of built up my collection over time and I just ordered all these really cute, I was going to say solid gold, but they might be gold plated rings for really good prices. The only problem is none of them fit me and they were all either one size or only available in like a 7, which is not my ring size, but I was like, who knows? Maybe it'll work. Of course it didn't. So then I ordered all these ring sizers from Amazon. It's basically like this clear plastic coil that you can wrap around the bottom part to make it fit better. And so I put all those on and yeah, we'll see how this goes. I don't know. But I'm really excited about the rings. They're really quite big. Like I think I need more sizing. You know, like more of the whatever. Okay, I can feel myself fading. Let's move on from the rings. Okay, I have a random funny story that has little to do with anything, but I just have to share it. So also, if you're someone who's kind of not... Wait, did I introduce myself? What is happening? You know what? I'm recording kind of later than I usually record and I'm really hungry and I think it's going to my head. Okay. Anyway, I'm Hiva. If I didn't say that, if it's your first time listening, this is a very strange episode to jump into. And also if you're someone who doesn't really love hearing about bathroom stuff, maybe skip ahead a little bit because I'm going to talk about poo for a bit. So if you've been listening for a while, you know that I've had a lifelong constipation and I'm not going to get too deep into it because that's going to happen on another episode and it's neither the time nor the place, but I do want to talk about poo a little bit. So I've been taking magnesium for years now to poo. Before that, I took serious laxatives, but that's a story for a different day. Anyway, I'm in the process of tapering off of the magnesium and really getting my colon to work properly on its own again. And the other day, my friend texts me and she's like, have you ever heard of a ghost poop? And I was like, no, say more. And so she sent me a link to this podcast episode where this guy talked about ghost poop. And he said a ghost poop is a poop that's basically so perfect that when you wipe, there's nothing there. Like it leaves no traces on your asshole. Like it's just this beautiful, perfectly solid log that you don't have to wipe afterwards. And he talked a lot about how, you know, animals and nature poop all the time and they're not out here, you know, wiping their butts or using bidets or things like that. Like their poops just don't leave a trace. And that's how our poops should be. And, you know, our guts are all so bad that we don't have ghost poops, yada, yada, yada. Now, this person clearly has not met my dog because my dog is extremely diarrhea prone and that bitch needs her ass wiped by me on the regular, but neither here nor there. This is what I want to get at. When my friend texted me, have you heard of a ghost poop? I said no, but I immediately remembered something that happened to me many, many years ago that I've never really talked about with anyone. I don't even think I told my friend that this is what came to my mind. I just immediately was like, oh my God, I hope this is what she's talking about. Because I have this unsolved mystery in my life. So basically, my first year out of college, I lived in this building that was great and actually a lot of fun. A lot of GW undergrads lived there. I didn't go to GW, but I moved to DC after college and all these undergrads lived there and it was a really fun building, whatever. And, you know, it was my first year out of college. I was working, I was going out partying all the time, etc. And one night I'd been out, I come home, I, you know, whatever, do my thing, smoke, eat, whatever, go to bed. I wake up in the morning and I went to the toilet and there was a log in my toilet. And I was like, huh, that's weird. Because I don't remember pooping last night. A, I always flush after I poop. Like, I always, always, always flush after I poop. So, number one, that seems weird for me. B, I don't... I love how I go from number one to B. Can't count. Can't do the things. Can't make lists. Whatever. B, I don't remember pooping last night. C, and this might be the most dispositive piece of evidence here, my poop doesn't look like that. You know how, like, you know what your poop looks like. And sometimes it varies, but for the most part, you know your poop. Like, your poop has a specific color, shape, smell, etc. generally, right? Unless you did something very differently, or unless you're really trying to work on stuff. Like, I'm on the road to trying to achieve a ghost poop. Anyway. And so I'm like, this is so fucking weird. Like, what the fuck could this be? And so it's one of those things I never solved. I did talk about it with one person and I was like, what? Like, and she's like, could the toilet have regurgitated someone else's poop? Like, there's one of three things going on here. Either I pooped a poop that didn't look anything like my own poop and forgot to flush. Seems highly, highly, highly unlikely. Or would it, I would leave my door unlocked. So would it someone break into my apartment in the middle of the night, take a shit in my toilet and not flush and then leave? And I slept through the whole thing? Seems pretty unlikely. Or did the toilet regurgitate someone else's poop from within the building? That also seems, I don't know. I've never known what the fuck that situation was. It's one of those things that happened. It happened in 2010, so 13 years ago. And I kind of forgot about it up until a few weeks ago. And my friend texted me and she goes, have you heard of ghost poop? And I was like, oh my God, do ghosts poop? Because if so, that would explain what the fuck happened to me in 2010 in 2400 M Street, Northwest Washington, D.C. That would explain so much about my life. Well, really just this one night that I quite frankly haven't really thought about in 13 years, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, that's not what ghost poop meant though. And to bring the story full circle, the reason I thought of it this week is because I had a ghost poop and I just want to brag because I've been working really, really hard on my gut health and getting off of the magnesium. Ooh, Freudian slip there. But honestly, the type of magnesium that I'm taking essentially may as well be laxatives. So that's why I'm so determined and committed to getting off of it. And I was really excited for my one and only ghost poop. I do experience something else that you could maybe call a ghost poop, which is where you sit down on the toilet and nothing comes out of your asshole. So it's like a ghost. Would that count as a ghost poop? Because if so, I have those all the fucking time. Okay, moving right along. before I get into the topic of the day, I just want to talk about four things that have really been helping me this week, and they're all really basic and not that interesting and not even really worth talking about because it's so obvious, it's shit you already know, it's nothing groundbreaking here, but it just kind of is worth talking about. Number one, I've been eating a very high percentage of raw fresh fruits. And I find that the higher the percentage of my diet that comes from just untouched, fresh, raw produce, the better I fucking feel. And I mean, it's hard to maintain because you also kind of need other things. But even just eating a few bits of tofu, and I fucking love tofu. Like, I think tofu is the most delicious thing in the world. But there's such a difference between eating a food that's made in a factory versus eating something that just is natural from the ground. I mean, there's nothing like it. Oh my God, I tasted this new fruit this past week called Mamie Sapote. Well, it's new to me. I've been seeing it on social media and stuff, and I've heard people say it's amazing, but I'd never seen it and never tried it. I finally ordered a box. When I tell you, it is the best thing I've ever eaten, like, my mind is blown. It's like nothing I've ever experienced before. It's like pumpkin pie filling, but you know, pumpkin pie filling is pumpkin mixed with, you know, butter and eggs and sugar and cinnamon and all these things that make it good. Mamie's Sapote tastes like it has all of those things in it. It's an oral experience like I've never experienced. And I've put some weird shit in my mouth. I mean, I dated a guy with a micro penis, okay? Try putting that in your mouth. I've also dated a guy with a massive fucking dick. Try putting that in your... I've put some weird shit in my mouth, let me tell you. And this was the most shocking and pleasantly surprising experience to date. The way that I'm about to go slam some fucking Mamie's Sapote as soon as we're done here, I'm counting down the seconds. I'm counting down the fucking seconds. In fact, I should have had a bite before I started recording, because now it's all I can think about. Now I just want to rush and get out of here so I can get to my Mamie's Sapote. Okay, let's get the show on the road. Oh yeah, so the more just fresh raw fruit I've been eating, the lighter I feel in every way. It's like I can feel, I don't want to sound too woo-woo, but it's like I'm someone who's so into sunlight, like the way sunlight dictates my mood, like the way I would describe myself as a sun worshiper. And when I eat a higher percentage of raw fresh fruit, it's like I feel the sunshine inside my body, like the very sunshine that caused the fruit to grow on the tree or the bush or the shrub or wherever the fuck the fruit grows. And then when I ingest the fruit, it's like the sunshine enters my body and I start to glow from the inside out. I know it sounds fucking crazy, and I know, like, nothing novel here. Oh, eating fresh fruit makes you feel better. Who would have thought? In a world where people are constantly being pushed processed and packaged foods as health foods, I mean, we grew up with fucking Special K commercials on TV branding it as a diet, branding it as a health food, branding it as a weight loss food. I mean, we've grown up with all of these alternatives. Look at the stores nowadays. There's all these keto alternatives for things, paleo alternatives for things, gluten-free alternatives for things, vegan alternatives for things, all of these alternatives for normal foods that we are being pushed at, like, oh, this is a healthier version. You know what's actually healthier? Food that comes from the ground. Like, try it. Try it for a bit. I can almost guarantee you'll feel better. And I say almost because actually, if you have a lot of gut issues, you're not going to feel better. Because, and it's not the foods, it's because your gut microbiome is wrong. So if you eat more produce and you feel worse, there's something wrong with your gut, and you really need to invest in good probiotics and good consistency and just slowly tapering up the amount of fresh produce that you eat to then, like, really build your gut microbiome off. So if that's the situation, then you won't feel better. But for everyone else, you will feel better. And if that is the situation, just do what I said and you'll see how much better you feel. Okay, the second thing, again, so fucking obvious, but exercise. I get it, okay? You know that exercise is good for you. You don't need me to tell you that. But, you know, I didn't really exercise up until the beginning of this year. I was always a big walker, but that's it. Like, I was never actually exercising. And then I started exercising by doing this, like, 8-minute abs video. You can find it on YouTube. Just look up 8-minute abs. And it's this, like, workout video from the 80s. And it's so funny. But it was kind of the only thing that I could wrap my mind around doing. So, like, 8 minutes of just abs. Like, sure, I can get it up for 8 minutes of abs. But, like, there's no fucking way I was out here going to be doing a 30-minute or 45-minute workout class. Just wasn't happening. And so I started slowly building my way up. And then I've been on this girl's workout platform. Her name is Caroline Deisler. She's like a vegan food and fitness influencer. And she has this workout platform. And I do love her workouts. But again, I would do the shorter ones. But she launched this 10-day challenge that started last Monday. So we're on day 9 now. And I decided to actually do the 10-day challenge and do every single day as she had planned out. And the workouts are like 30 to 50 minutes. And so I never did those. And the way that I felt better this week than I have maybe my entire fucking life. And her workouts are they're kind of chill. It's nothing too crazy, nothing too intense. Like, it's nothing that'll really raise your cortisol levels. Cause I've worked out before, but I would do these more intense classes or more intense weights and stuff. But doing these where it's like a mind-body connection like I've never felt before. Like, the workouts are really, really effective, and they're like kind of deeper toning moves, like kind of intense Pilates, but without the stress release that an intense workout can give you. So your cortisol stays low. And at like the other day, I was having kind of a shit day, and all I wanted to do was sit on the couch and just binge eat tofu. And I was like, okay, fine, Hiva, if you want to do that, you can do that. But just do the workout first and then go binge eat tofu on the couch and watch trash TV. And I did the workout and I just felt so much fucking better than the rest of the day. I made way better decisions because my mind was right. Like, again, I know this is nothing groundbreaking. Like, oh, eating healthy and exercise makes you feel better. Thanks, Hiva. No, I know you already know this, but I'm just reminding you. Okay, the third thing that's really, really been helping me this week is cleaning and decluttering. Again, nothing that on this list is going to be novel. So let's just get that out of the way. Nothing on this list is novel. Nothing is groundbreaking. It's all stuff you already know. But I just want to remind you, because this week it's been hitting me in the face in such an extreme way. So I've been decluttering these little areas, and there's still a lot left to do in the apartment. There's just things that I want to reorganize and stuff. But every time, you know, I feel like my nervous system gets dysregulated. And when I get dysregulated, the way it really manifests for me is feeling overwhelmed and feeling frazzled. And I feel like my apartment sometimes reflects that internal overwhelm and frazzle in the way of clutter and congestion places. And when I clear those things, it's like my body energetically reflects it. Whatever, I'm not going to go on about this. And the last one is deep breaths. And listen, I'm a big meditation girly. I'm a big breath work girly, but I'm talking about deep breaths in the moment. So the other night, I'd been meaning to take food pictures for a while. And every day I was like, I'm too tired. I can't do it today. I'm too tired. I can't do it today. I'm too tired. I can't do it today. Finally, last night, I was like, I'm doing it. I'm so excited. So I started doing stuff. I start cutting my blueberries in this beautiful shape. And, you know, I'm balling my dragon fruit and I'm doing all these things. And then I move my C stand to the middle of the room. It's so fucking heavy. I pull out the ladder. I mount the camera. I tether it to my computer. I'm getting all set up. I have the lights set up. I have everything ready to go. I encounter some kind of tech glitch and my camera won't tether to my computer. And that's how I shoot. Like, I really have to have it tethered to the computer. No matter what I do, it won't tether. I updated the software that I use, the imaging software. I restart my computer. I restart the camera. I pull out the cords. I reconnect. I tried everything. I watched all these YouTube videos, troubleshooting. I try every single thing. No matter what I do, it won't tether. Usually this is a situation where I'd really lose my cool. I'd get angry. I'd get frustrated. I'd get frazzled, all of those things. But instead I was like, okay, just a deep breath, just a deep breath in. Hold. Nice, long, deep breath out. I did a few breaths. Every time I started feeling myself like bubbling up, I would take a few deep breaths and I was like, okay, what's the worst case scenario here? I'm not able to tether the camera to the laptop. I just shoot on my iPhone. iPhone cameras are pretty good. Is it going to be as good as the thing? No, but whatever, it'll be good enough. It'll be good fucking enough. And that's exactly what I did. And honestly, I was really pleased with the results. And It is what it is. So listen, was there anything groundbreaking just there? No, these are four things that you already knew. But I just wanted to remind you, because I think we have a tendency to overlook these things that we know work. Like, we know being out in sunshine lifts your moods. We know that eating healthy makes you feel better. We know that exercise makes you feel better. We know all of these things, but yet we feel like we've done these things in the past and maybe they haven't worked. And the reason they haven't worked is because we haven't been consistent enough with them, or we put too much weight on them. We came at them with desperate energy, yada, yada. So instead, we just want these cheap, easy fixes, right? Like, oh, I hear B12 elevates your mood. Let me order 14 different types of B12 supplements, or, you know, going into a cryo chamber, or all these things that, like, yeah, they probably work also, but you don't need to spend all this money on all these extra things. The solutions usually are free or cheap and right on hand and super accessible. You just have to do them. You just have to fucking do it. And sometimes doing it is kind of hard, but once you do it, you'll be like, fuck, why haven't I been doing this all along? Okay, moving right along. So, like I said, I've been eating a higher percentage of fresh raw fruits. And the other day, I had washed all my produce and it was sitting out on the counter on top of towels drying off. And I was looking at this just beautiful spread of fresh fruits. I mean, I had a bunch of fucking melons, some Santa Claus melons, some snow leopard melons, some Korean melons, some cantaloupes. I had a bunch of mangoes. Pro tip, buy those little yellow mangoes, not the ones that have the green and red skin. The little yellow ones are so much better. And mangoes, I had three different types of dragon fruit. I had the yellow skin, white flesh dragon fruit. That's by far the tastiest one. And then I had the pink skin, white flesh. That one tastes like nothing, but it looks really pretty if you ball it. That's why I had it. And I had the pink skin, pink flesh, which also doesn't have that much of a flavor, but the vibrancy of the hue is like nothing you've ever seen before. Anyway, so where was I going with this? Yeah. Oh, and I had like these beautiful rainbow carrots and like a few different types of radishes and different types of beets. And I mean, just a stunning array of fresh produce that was just, it was a feast for the eyes. I don't know what else to say. And I was looking at it and I was thinking, I remember when I first went vegan, I followed all these vegan influencers. And throughout the years, I see this a lot, but specifically, I see it a lot with like vegan or plant-based people talking about like abundance and how this lifestyle is all about abundance. And like, I even have a friend, let's put it in quotes, who will be like, this lifestyle is all about abundance. And it's just so cheesy and cringe. But as I was looking at all this produce, I was thinking, this lifestyle is really, it's abundance. Look at this fucking abundance. And then I was really thinking about the word abundance. And then all these things started clicking for me about how all of the relationships that I see in my life that are really, really disastrous or like just not good, they have one thing in common, and that is that the people in them do not have an abundance mindset. They have a scarcity mindset. And then I looked at all of my friends who are single and don't want to be single. And all of them have one thing in common, and that is that they don't have an abundance mindset. They have a scarcity mindset. And then I looked at all of the people I know who are in really, really good relationships, and all of us have one thing in common, and that is that we have an abundance mindset when it comes to dating and relationships. And so I wanted to unpack what exactly this means and how you can get there. Okay, so first, I just want to start kind of analogizing the two areas where I hear abundance talked about a lot are food and then money/career. And so I want to talk about those and kind of compare those to what I mean when I say an abundance mindset when it comes to dating and relationships. So for food, when you don't have an abundance mindset, I think it can look like two things, and they're kind of two ends of an extreme. One is that you may have grown up in a circumstance, or you might currently be in a circumstance of food scarcity, whether that's just literal lack of access to food because of whatever infrastructure or whatever. Like, I think a lot of us were really worried about that in early stages of COVID. There was, you know, we were stocking up because we didn't know what the fuck was going to happen. So there was that. Or you might have some kind of disordered eating, and so there's an abundance of food available to you, but you just don't subconsciously think that you're worthy of that food. You might be able to see where I'm going with this. Similar situation with money, right? Like, either you kind of grew up with lack, and so you think there's a scarcity of money when there really isn't. There actually is plenty of money to go around. There's enough money to for everyone to have some. It's just that, you know, for a lot of systemic reasons, not all of us have access to it, yada, yada, yada. But that's neither here nor there. Or you may have actually grown up with a tremendous amount of abundance, but for whatever reason, you subconsciously don't think that you are worthy of that financial abundance. Right. The same thing applies with dating and relationships, and it really ties in with your attachment style. So if you're someone who has a lot of anxious patterning where you're, you know, preoccupied with love and romance, and you have a really hard time with separation, and you have an extreme fear of abandonment, then you are not going to have an abundant mindset when it comes to dating, because basically every person that you encounter, in the back of your mind, you're going to be like, okay, let's really fucking try to make this work, because who knows if I'm going to meet anyone else ever again. So you have that like extreme scarcity lack mindset around dating and relationships because you have so much weighing on it, because to your subconscious mind, every situation is a matter of life or death, and you just have to fucking make it work. On the other hand, if you have a lot of avoidant patterning, then you might not have this scarcity mindset in terms of like, okay, like this could be the last person that I meet, and like, the, you know, I might never meet anyone else again, so I have to fucking make this work. But you're going to have another thing where subconsciously you don't actually think that you are worthy of love and kindness and affection and all of these things. And so you're going to have a lack mindset or an anti-abundance mindset because you're going to push things away, if that makes sense. So in all of these situations, there are kind of two ends of extremes that cause this anti-abundance and this more scarcity mindset. And we see it play out all the time. Like I'm going to give some examples of situation or people in my life who do not have an abundant mindset with when it comes to relationships and how it's affecting them. And I can guarantee you, you know people like this. You are people like this. You have had situations like this, or you know people in situations like this. Okay. I have a long list, and if you are some of my friends who are listening to this, I just want to apologize in advance for talking about you, but it is what it is. Okay. I have one friend who basically has been single for a while, and she has this guy friend who has always kind of had a crush on her, and she's never been even remotely into it. And, as she's getting further and further away from her last relationship and not meeting someone, she's kind of becoming more and more into lack mindset. And recently she went out with someone and they had sex, and then he kind of ghosted her. And after that happened, she started looking at her guy friend, the guy friend who has been obsessed with her for forever, and she's not been into him even remotely. All of a sudden, she starts looking at this dude differently. And then he is dating other people because she's made it abundantly clear to him that she wasn't into him. So he's been dating other people. And now she's getting all jealous. And it's like this bizarre 180 where she's like, I can't even, it's hard for me to watch him date other people and like blah, blah. And I'm like, girl, you've never been into him. You've literally never been into him. The only reason that you think you're into him now is because nothing else has panned out for you. And subconsciously, deep down, you're worried that you're never going to meet anyone else who you have this much fun with and who loves and adores you so much. So all of a sudden, you're hung up on this man that you couldn't even stand a few weeks ago. I have another friend who basically followed this guy who she had been dating for like 2-3 months across the country, moved with him. He treated her like absolute garbage. She was basically like a live-in maid and just tolerating so much verbal abuse from him. And he was so awful to her. But basically, like, she turned 29 and she's like, I want to settle down. So she just continued putting up with all of this bullshit from him. I have another friend who is single, and she has this guy friend, and he's within a greater group of friends of hers. So like basically they have all these mutual friends, their group of friends hangs out all the time. It's this wonderful setup. Like, I totally understand why she crushes on him. I mean, I don't know anything about him, but just knowing kind of the situation where there's this group of friends and they're always hanging out and he pays special attention to her, yada, yada, I totally get it. But he also is an extremely indecisive person, and he kind of has a crush on her. He actually does like her, but also won't really make a move. He also likes this other girl in their group of friends and kind of like is toying around with both of them. Neither of them intentionally, by the way. He really doesn't seem like a fuckboy or someone who's intentionally trying to hurt anyone or just play with people at all. He just honestly seems to have such extreme problems making decisions and sticking with them and just kind of advocating for himself as a human being that it's now manifested in him fucking with these girls, when I actually really, really don't think that's his intention at all. But either way, my friend continues to be strung around by this dude because she has a lack mindset, because she doesn't think subconsciously, she doesn't think that she's going to meet anyone else. She doesn't think that she'll meet anyone else where it's going to be as comfortable and as easy. And she won't really actually put in the effort to put herself out there, in part because she's hung up by him. But it's this constant cycle. And what it really boils down to is that she is prioritizing what's there, even though what's there isn't giving her any of the things that she wants, over the fear of the unknown, because the unknown comes with unknown risks, you know? Again, anti-abundance mindset. Ooh, this is probably the worst one I'm going to talk about, but I have a friend who has been married for a while now, definitely over 5 years. And she has 2 kids with her husband. They had their second kid 4 months ago. And she kind of, like, when she was 2 weeks postpartum, she found out that he had been having an affair her entire second pregnancy. And since then, so in the past 4 months, she's found out that he's had at least 2 other affairs. But I mean, who knows? Like, it's probably so many more. And she's not even firm on leaving him. And I mean, I get it. She has 2 very young kids and she's postpartum and she's dealing with all these things. Like, I'm really not judging her. And, you know, she really keeps coming back to wanting to do what's best for the kids, which I do understand. Now, I really do think what's best for kids is to grow up with parents who are happy and to grow up watching parents do the difficult thing, but really have the utmost amount of respect for themselves. That's what's actually best for kids, to have good role models and not have parents who are doormats. But that's neither here nor there. And by the way, her husband isn't even like apologetic. He's like gaslighting her about it. And she has such anti-abundance mindset. Like, if she had an abundant mindset, she would be like, holy shit, there are 8 billion people on this planet. I can find someone who's going to be a better partner to me. I can find someone who won't cheat on me. I can find someone who respects me. I can find someone who won't gaslight me. I can find someone who's going to be a better co-parent. But instead, she's just hung up on this one person because she can't see all of the abundance that is available to her. I have another friend who has been married for a while now, and basically she's had to keep up this charade. It's charades when it's the game. So it's charade, right? Does anyone say charade? Why did I think it could be charade? Charade. She has to keep up this charade as like a cool girl. Like, she's had to do it their entire relationship. Basically, what they bonded over was how some women are so high maintenance and make so many demands on their husbands and their partners, and how she's so not like that. And it's now like created the situation where she can't say that she's upset with him ever. Like, he recently planned like a golf trip during their anniversary and like didn't even really tell her, and then all of a sudden just went, like, didn't even call for their anniversary, like didn't say anything, and she just had to stifle it and be like, yeah, no, that's cool, because their entire relationship is premised on her being chill and easygoing. And so internally she's so upset, she gets sick all the time, she constantly has gut issues because she's stifling all of these emotions that she can't put out. And she continues to stay in this situation. And I'm not even saying like she won't leave him. My bigger issue is that she won't just be herself. She won't just admit when something upsets her. She won't just advocate for herself. I have another friend who constantly dates people who want things that make her uncomfortable, but she never voices when they make her uncomfortable. For example, she was dating this guy and he said, you know, I really want to come on your face. And she really didn't want him to come on her. Like, she had never had a guy come on her face before. She said it made her really uncomfortable. I can't relate. Like, to me, that's like so not a big deal. Like, you want to come on my face? Come, you know what I mean? Whatever. Like, to me, that's so whatever. But for her, like, she, like, it felt really degrading and disgusting for her. And she just had literally no interest in that. Yet she was just kind of like, I don't know, like whatever, like wouldn't advocate for herself, wouldn't speak up, wouldn't do all these things because she is 40 and she really wants kids and she wants to settle down. And she's like, okay, well, this guy has all of these other things that I'm looking for. So I'm not going to tell him that this sexual act makes me uncomfortable because she just wants to settle down and get it going. You know, like, she doesn't have an abundant mindset. She doesn't think that she can find someone else. She doesn't think that she can say something makes her uncomfortable because she's scared that he'll leave her. And if he'll leave her, then she has to spend all this time trying to find someone else because there's no abundance in her mindset. And quite frankly, my entire dating history is anti-abundance, right? Like, I would either go out with people and immediately be like, oh my God, like, I met someone, this could be the one, like blah, blah, blah. Or I would go out and just immediately start looking for reasons why things weren't gonna work out. But either way, I've always had an anti-abundance mindset until I worked through my attachment stuff. And quite frankly, I've had it with friendships too. I mean, just this past week, I was talking to one of my best friends about another friend of mine who really annoys me. And when we were unpacking it, I realized I don't even really like this other girl. I became friends with her because at the time when we met, I kind of had no friends. I was transitioning out of a really wild group of friends and was just trying to look for like normal people to be friends with who, you know, weren't going to overdose on heroin. And I met this girl and she was nice enough. So we became really close friends. But now that I'm reflecting on it, I don't even really fucking like her personality. So, and it's, I became friends with her because I was an extreme lack and scarcity mindset, right? We do it all the time. Even think of, have you heard people say, and this is specifically advice that people give women, like I hear moms say this to their daughters all the time, marry the guy who loves you more than you love him. What is that? That's anti-abundance. That's scarcity. That's lack mindset. That right there, scarcity, lack mindset. So what does it mean to actually have an abundance mindset when it comes to dating and relationships? It means that you are aware that there are 8 billion people in the world and that you don't have to settle for disrespect. You don't have to settle for lukewarm feelings. You don't have to settle for people that you're unsure about. You don't ever have to settle because there is an abundance of options out there. But this is where it's even more important than that. There's an unlimited amount of love that you can show yourself. So no matter what happens, you will always be okay. That is having an abundance mindset. It's being able to be so fully yourself and fearless because you know that you're always going to be okay, because at the end of the day, you always have yourself. And nothing else, no other relationship, no other love on this planet can ever threaten that. So you don't even have to have eggs in baskets situation. There are no fucking eggs. And when I really felt like true abundance mindset in dating was basically, you guys, if you've been listening for a while, you know the situation, you know the story. But I started seeing Ozzy in November of 2020. I still had extreme anxious attachment. In fact, I remember after our first date, I was really fucking into him, but I immediately started looking for all the reasons why it wouldn't work out because I didn't want to get my hopes up, right? And so for a few months, we're seeing each other. I'm playing all these gnarly games. I'm hot and cold and this and that, whatever. He goes back to Australia. We kind of fizzle out. And then I dated Van Guy. And while I was with Van Guy, I took a course on attachment theory. And in that course on attachment theory, I was able to see my patterns really well. And then I combined the things that I'd learned in that course on attachment theory with other modalities of therapy and healing that I'd been doing. So a lot of inner child work, a lot of hypnosis, a lot of EMDR, a lot of somatic therapy, things like that. So I took those tools that I was able to use to heal from a lot of inner child stuff. And I was like, okay, attachment theory really goes back to inner child work. So, childhood wounds. So if these modalities worked for some of these other types of childhood trauma, then they should work for the attachment trauma. And so I started experimenting, and sure enough, I was really able to get myself to a place where I was really secure. And so my first real act of abundance mindset was realizing I don't want to be with Van Guy. I was dating Van Guy because I was so upset over things not panning out with Ozzy, and I just needed a distraction. And I went for a guy who was kind of opposite to him in temperament and stuff, and thought that that's what I wanted, but that wasn't what I wanted. I just wanted to not feel the pain that I felt with Ozzy, that constant like freaking out. Is he into me? Is he not into me? Like, are we going to work out? Are things going to work out? What happens when this? What happens when that? And when I finally got to a place where I was actually really secure, all of that just went away. And so then I broke up with Van Guy. That was the first true act of abundance mindset. And then this was the next one. I started hanging out with Ozzy again, but just as friends. I had no intentions of making it romantic because in my mind, I was like, oh, this guy's like not committing, yada, yada. But the very first time that we hung out after I broke up with Van Guy, we were out having drinks. And he said to me, he's like, hey, listen, I'm really sorry that when I went to Australia, we kind of lost touch. And he's like, you know, I don't want to use it as an excuse because there is no excuse, but I was going through a lot at the time. You know, this was January of 2021, and the borders were technically closed, but because he was going for work, he was able to go, and he was on this special charter flight. And there was an outbreak of COVID on the flight, and this was still like relatively early COVID days. And at the time, you had to do mandatory quarantining in Australia at a hotel. So he's in the hotel quarantining, and then he tested positive for COVID. So they had to move him to the COVID hotel, and he was on Australian news. And so he was just going through a lot. He's locked in a hotel room for 2 weeks, like literally can't see sunshine, yada, yada, whatever. He's like, you know, I was going through a lot. It like my head wasn't right, blah, blah, blah. And I remember what I said. I will never forget what I said to him, because I just like, you know, old me would have been like, oh yeah, what, like any number of things. But instead I had a moment where I was like, I'm going to be so fucking honest because I don't care what the outcome is. And I said to him, you know what? Thanks. I appreciate you saying that. But also, like, I don't even think I can blame you for anything that went wrong between us, because I was never honest with you. I liked you so much. Like, I was so into you, and all I wanted was to be with you. But instead of showing that and being upfront, I was playing so many fucking games. I was trying to make you jealous. I would wait long before texting you back. I was going hot and cold and this and that. I was doing all of these asinine things instead of just being upfront about how I felt, because I was so scared of how it would land and maybe you wouldn't reciprocate or whatever. And I didn't want to be hurt, and I didn't want to show all my cards, and I wanted to strategize. I wanted to play it smart so that I could get to this specific outcome. And in me sharing that with him, it became clear to me how much abundance mindset I had, because I didn't care how that was going to land. I didn't care if he was going to be like, wow, I had no idea you were that into me. Like, unfortunately, I don't really want a relationship, or what? Like, I didn't care what his reaction was going to be. I was able to put all my cards on the table because I wasn't out here playing games. I didn't care. I knew no matter what happened with Ozzy and I had myself, and that's all that mattered. I loved myself deeply enough to displace any sort of love that anyone else could ever show me. And that was true fucking abundance mindset. I have a friend who last year found out that her partner was cheating on her. And I mean, she didn't even have solid proof. He was kind of traveling a lot, which was a bit of a red flag. But someone sent her a photo of him with two girls approaching his hotel. And I mean, that in and of itself, I remember when she sent it to me, I was like, oh, well, you don't know. Like, you don't know that he's cheating just because he's near a hotel with two girls. But she was like, no, I feel something in my gut. And in that moment, she started planning her exit. She flew her mom into town. She secretly, and this was like a very controlling, manipulative guy who had a lot of financial control over her. And so she really had to play it very, very smart. But she immediately started planning her exit. And she had like a 3-month-old at the time. And she was financially dependent on her partner, but she immediately started planning her exit because she's like, fuck no, I am not going to live with someone who I can't trust. Like, I will not let my baby watch me be a wilting flower. My child needs a strong ass role model. That is fucking abundance mindset. I mean, that is the most abundance mindset I've ever seen, because there was not one moment of like, what if I don't find someone else to, what if I don't, I mean, she had financial concerns. Like, she was reliant on his money for her newborn baby. Yet she had so much abundance mindset that she's like, nah, it'll be fine. It'll be fine, because nothing is worse than staying in a situation where you're not respected, you're not valued, and you're not happy. There is nothing that can come worse than that. I have a friend, very different situation. He's a gay man, and at 39 years old, he decided to have a baby via surrogate, like adopt a baby. He was single. And, you know, he like always wanted to settle down and find someone, but it just hadn't happened. And he was like, you know what? I've always wanted a baby. I want a baby now. I'm just going to do it. And I don't care how it affects my dating life. Like, anyone I'd want to date, I would want them to want kids anyway. And so they'll just have to embrace me and the baby. And so he did it. And he actually now is in a really happy relationship with someone who's amazing with his kid. But it all came from him just being like, I don't care if this makes me less marketable or like less desirable to some people, because I'm still going to be desirable to the right person, as he was. I have a friend who married a guy who was actually a really sweet and wonderful guy and came from a lot of money, like middle finger money. And he was really wonderful to her, but she had a lot of issues with his family and ended up leaving him. And literally had no parachute. She had a money where she had a job where she was making like $30,000 living in New York City, which like in New York City at $30,000, like you may as well be living on the streets. Like it's not like it is not a survivable amount of money. And, you know, she like kind of had nothing to fall back on, but she was like, I'm not going to stay in a situation where I'm unhappy. Things will work themselves out. She's now married to this wonderful, amazing person. She ended up leaving her job, building her own business. She makes multi six figures, like maybe close to seven figures. She's good, you know? And I have a friend who dated a guy who she always had to be on her best behavior around. Like if she was ever emotional, needy, if she ever, you know, had a bit of a meltdown, anything, he would break up with her and not talk to her. Can relate. I've dated many of those guys. And when they finally broke up, she did, and like she had a really hard time accepting their breakup, all things that I could really, really relate to. And I was like, listen, I know what's going on with you. You have extreme anxious attachment, and that's why it's manifesting in these meltdowns. That's why it's manifesting in you not accepting that things are over with this guy who actually treats you like shit. And I did all of basically the Blush Academy with her and really got her to a place where she was really secure. And then she met this guy who's so wonderful. And their relationship is my favorite relationship I've ever seen. She can fully be herself with him. Like she's silly. She's basic. Like with her ex, like she would have to just like hide all these things about herself. Like the fact that she's really into fashion and she's really into, you know, photographing her outfits. And she's just kind of into these basic bitch kind of things. And instead would have to play up these other aspects of herself. Like she is really smart and she is really literary and stuff, but she'd constantly have to play up those aspects of herself because her ex would judge her for these other things. Whereas her current partner, her now husband and father of her two children, loves every aspect of her. Like he just loves her for being her. Like she can just fully be herself. They laugh together constantly. Like they're such good parents. Like their household is just filled with laughter and joy and happiness. And it's all because she has full abundance mindset. Like she can really and truly be herself. And that is being abundant. Like having abundance mindset when it comes to dating and relationships is not settling for people who aren't bringing you joy and happiness, not staying in situations where you're not valued, you're not seen, and you're not loved, and really being yourself and advocating for yourself in all of your relationships. So you might be listening and you're like, okay, well, how can I have an abundance mindset in dating and relationships? And there's really three pillars to this. Number one, you have to regulate your nervous system. So just kind of a very, very basic high level breakdown of nervous system. And this is, you know, we're not going to get into the weeds of it, but the autonomic nervous system controls are kind of like automatic things like breathing, sweating, things like that, that we don't actually like really think about. And there are two broad branches of it. There's the sympathetic and the parasympathetic. So the sympathetic nervous system is our quote unquote fight or flight state. It's when there's some kind of danger or extreme stress. And so your body secretes cortisol and your body suppresses things like non-essential functions like digestion and sexual function, and instead sends blood into your muscles so that you can be ready to fight or to flee. And again, this is very basic because it's actually, there's more to it than I'm getting into today, but that's really not important. So this is a time where you're stressed, and you're supposed to be stressed because you're supposed to have the cortisol ready to face this danger and either fight it or more likely flee from it. That tends to be how we evolved as a species. We didn't do that much fighting. We did a lot more fleeing. And then there's the parasympathetic, which is called the rest and digest. And that's when there is no danger. And this is where you should be most of the time. And you can be calm and you can be peaceful and you can sleep and you can digest because, you know, there's no danger that we need to be fighting or fleeing from. So you can have blood go to your digestion again. You can have blood go to your sex organs again, because now, like, it's time to repopulate the earth when we're in the middle of a serious danger. I mean, think of The Last of Us, right? Like, when you're in that situation, you don't really need to be procreating. You don't really need to be fucking. You don't really need to be pooping. Like, there are way bigger things going on. You need to be fighting lion, mushrooms, zombies. Yeah. So that's kind of like a very, very simplistic overview of the nervous system. Now, scarcity or anti-abundant mindset lives in the sympathetic nervous system. That's where all that overthinking happens. That's where those thought processes happen. That's where, well, if I say this, then maybe he'll do this. Or, you know, if I ask for this, then maybe he'll leave me. Or, oh, like, if I walk away from this situation, I might never meet anyone else ever again. That's where these thoughts live. So the more that you can do to regulate your nervous system so that you spend a greater percentage of your time in your parasympathetic, and that when you have a stressor come up and you go into your sympathetic, you're able to deal with that stressor more efficiently and go back into your parasympathetic. That's what nervous system regulation does for you. The easier it's going to be to work through these things. And also, when you are in a stressed situation, your brain actually kind of shuts off access to your prefrontal cortex, which is the rational part of your brain. So it's actually like quite literally impossible for you to be rational. And we're going to do a whole episode later on nervous system and nervous system regulation and what it means and how it relates to your attachment style. So just look out for that. But I do like, it is an important part of the process. And, you know, like sleeping better, eating healthier, exercising, doing breath work, all of these tools are really, really great for nervous system regulation. The next is you have to do the trauma release. And I know that I talk about this constantly, but basically, insecure attachment is a symptom of childhood trauma. And lack of abundant mindset and scarcity mindset, again, are symptoms of trauma. And the specific type of trauma that I'm talking about is that, like, A, messages that you've received throughout your life that love is scarce and rare, and so that is causing you to cling on to people for dear life, and also messages that you are unlovable. These are types of trauma. So for example, if you had a mother who told you, marry a man who loves you more than you love him, that was a traumatic thing to hear, and that really fucked with your head, and that is the type of thing, the type of trauma that you're gonna have to release. Again, I really advocate for EMDR and somatic therapy for that. In the Blush Academy, there's these guided meditations that are basically like self-hypnosis that actually use tools from those therapy modalities to release the trauma from your body. what I really would advocate in this situation is reparenting yourself with parents who really instill abundance mindset into you, that are constantly telling you how amazing you are and how much they love you and how they'll always be there for you when they love you unconditionally and how you're amazing. And there's so many people. I mean, when I was doing this work, I remember I would do rounds and rounds of inner child work where I had parents who were like, there are so many guys out there and you're going to date so many guys, and you know, if anyone is ever not treating you right, walk away from them because there are so many more available to you. And then this last thing, it's going to sound kind of crazy, but face your worst case scenario. So what is like your worst fear? Like a lot of my friends I listed are clinging on to these situations where they're like not even remotely fulfilled because they're scared that they're not going to meet anyone else. Okay, face that worst case scenario. Let's say you never meet anyone else. What then? Let's say you never meet anyone better. That's not the situation. That's not what's going to happen. But what then? We don't want to think about our worst case scenarios because there's so much messaging in society like, oh, positive vibes only. Oh, think positive, whatever fucking bullshit. We're afraid to think our negative thoughts because we're scared that somehow they're going to happen. They're not going to fucking happen. Do you know how many negative thoughts I have constantly? Every fucking time I see a blender, I have this glimpse in my head of like, what if my hand accidentally gets blended? It up. Guess how many times I've blended my hand? Zero fucking times. Our thoughts do not control our reality. Think of how many fucked up thoughts you have all the time that have not happened. We are constantly thinking about things. The world would be a shit show if our thoughts created our reality. It's simply untrue. So don't be afraid to think negative things. In fact, please think negative things. Allow yourself to think of the negative. Allow yourself to face your worst case scenario in your thoughts, because then you'll realize it's kind of not that bad. It's really not that deep. It's not that big of a deal. And it would be just fine. You would be just fucking fine. Once you face that fear, you'll see it's really not that scary. And then you can move on and be like, okay, well, I've already experienced what it would be like for that worst case scenario to happen. Like, I've already faced in my thoughts what it would be like for Ozzy to leave me. So if he ever leaves me, I'll be like, okay, well, I've already experienced this and it's fine. I'll find someone else or not, whatever. I have myself. I'll live a happy and fine life. Everything will fucking be okay. And one last thing before we wrap up, I just want to touch on, if you are currently in a relationship and you're hearing this and you're like, fuck, am I in this relationship because I have scarcity mindset and because I don't have an abundant mindset and you're not sure? Or if you currently have a crush on someone and you're like, fuck, is my crush because of scarcity mindset? Or let's say you're casually seeing someone and you're like, fuck, like, am I seeing this person because I don't have an abundant mindset? Whatever your situation is, if you are now questioning it, ask yourself these 5 questions and be really fucking brutally honest in your answers. Number one, if someone told you that you are a lot like this person, would you see that as a compliment? Number two, are you able to be completely honest about this person and your dynamic with this person, with your family and your friends? Or are there aspects of this person or this situation that you feel like you have to hide because you worry that people will judge you? Number three, are you able to be unapologetically yourself, or do you feel the need to conceal parts of yourself, amplify parts of yourself, or otherwise feel like you have to put thought and effort into how you show up around them? Number four, if this person in your dynamic were to never change, would you be happy? Or do you find yourself thinking, I'll be happy when they change XYZ, or I'll be happy when XYZ happens between us or our situation? And number five, would you want your future or hypothetical child to be with someone like this, or in a situation like this? Now, I don't think I need to tell you what the answers to these questions should be if you are in an actually abundant situation, because I think it speaks for itself. I think these questions are so fucking on point. Ask yourself them. This person that I have a crush on, would I want my future child to be dating someone like this? Would I want my future child to be in a situation like this? Would I want my future child to be in a relationship like this? Are you lying? Are you hiding things? Are you hiding parts of yourself? These are fucking on point questions. And if the answer to all five of these questions isn't yes, or whatever, whatever makes it work, you get it, then you don't have an abundance mindset. Okay, that's that. That's that. That's the episode. That is our show for the week. As usual, please rate, review, subscribe, enter the August giveaway. All you have to do to enter is leave a review for the show and then screenshot it and email it to me at theblushpod@gmail.com, or you can leave your Instagram handle in the review itself. And at the end of the month, I will randomly select a winner, and the winner gets a free membership to the Blush Academy. The Blush Academy is awesome. You don't want to miss out on this. And even if you've already left a review or you're already a Blush Academy member, whatever, please put this episode in your Instagram stories and share it with people so that other people can reap the benefits. Yeah. And don't forget, we do a Q&A episode for the last episode of the month. So go ahead and submit your questions now so that we can cover those. Okay, love you guys. Talk next week. Bye.